Hello there, and welcome to Talking Together Tuesday. We're here today with Celia Kibler from Baltimore. Hi, Celia.
Hello, Ollie. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I will introduce you in just a moment, but just so that everybody knows, the Talking Together Tuesday is based on my fingertips approach, which helps everybody to have strategies for talking together, learning together and growing together with me tonight, Ali McClure, and my special guest, but also these informal workshops, which are primarily for parents, are designed to empower you, the adults around the children, with simple strategies to help you in talking together, learning together, growing together with your children. Now, that's not to your children, at your children, about your children, that's with your children. So the strategies that we will talk about tonight will work for you to think, how can I help my child? But also for you to empower your child, either now, if they're teenagers or primary age, if they're tinies, maybe later on. But these strategies will last, and that's what's so important. They may seem simple, but they have a depth that makes the difference. So tonight, we're looking at moving from resolutions to sustainable solutions. Thank you so much for joining us. So, Celia, thank you for joining me all the way from Baltimore. We finally got our time zones worked out.
Yes, thank you, Ollie.
I'm learning my maths as we go
It's a challenge. Time zones are always a challenge, I'm telling you,
along.
Ollie. I
There we
feel
go.
like I mess up too often.
There we go. Well, I'm so delighted that Celia could join me. It was strange that Celia and I met when we were both at a conference earlier on in the year. We actually went in a taxi together, found ourselves at a beauty spot, and worked out that we each followed each other on the socials.
On
And
Instagram, yeah.
that's right. And since we have got to know each other more, it's really apparent that we are singing from the same hymn sheet, walking similar paths, and doing very similar jobs, myself in the United Kingdom and Celia in the United States. So, Celia, tell us just a little bit about where you come from, what your passions are. Off you go.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you for having me, Allie, and I love to be together with you again. And like you said, we just have so many commonalities and goals and missions and the what we believe makes better humans.
Absolutely.
And so I'm grateful to be joining you on tonight. What do I do? So I am an award-winning author of Raising Happy Toddlers, How to Build Great Parenting Skills and Stop Yelling at Your Kids. I am on a mission to stop. I think I'm up to like 30 million parents right now to help 30 million parents stop yelling at their kids because I've already, in some way or another, helped 20 million. So it is a mission of mine. I have always cared about a child's health and wellness. I have been working my professional life for over 40 years, working with kids and parents. I have five children of my own, two I gave birth to, and three I have as bonus children with my husband, and nine grandchildren. And we've been successfully parenting a blended family for over 29 years. And I have been a real life parent for over 41 years because my daughter is 41. Hard to believe. But they just keep getting older and older. And I am the founder of the Day of Calm Corporation, which main thing that we do is the International Day of Calm on April 5th. That's the day my dad passed away in 2020. So it honors my parents. And we also work hard year round instilling parenting programs at no charge in schools and other organizations. So parents have easy access to becoming better parents because it is so important that you put a system in place in your home. I'm the founder of Pumped Up Parenting and FunFit Family Fitness. So I'm all about kids. I'm all about helping you parents create the best adults you can create because that's what we're doing. We're raising adults, not kids.
Absolutely, and that comes back to the introduction which I gave, which is these strategies are talking together, learning together, growing together with your children, and they will empower your children to be great parents if that is where their journey takes them. So let's have a look.
Absolutely.
What's the plot? What have we got on the agenda tonight? We're just towards the end of January as we record this, but at any time in the year, if we think about making resolutions, is that realistic? Are making big resolutions realistic? Celia, I wonder, did you make any New Year resolutions?
I actually did. So my New Year resolution was to be more intentional with my time this year. Really, abide by the many routines that I put into place that I don't always follow, and just being intentional with what I do during the day. And so that I get more things done, more things accomplished, and they get done in a time frame that is more workable than just keep going on and on for months and months, and I haven't gotten to that, and I haven't gotten to that because I have not been as intentional as I could have been.
I love that. I love that phrase, intentional, because life is so busy. We had a time of calm. You have your day of calm. We had a time of calm in COVID where we were able to just pause and take stock. I'm not quite sure how it was in the USA, but in England, some parents didn't get the opportunity for a time of calm because they had their children at home. And they were trying to work and teach their children too. And there are all sorts of implications in the UK, the legacy of lockdown. I have to say, one of the legacies of lockdown for me is that I got to meet lovely people like you because I started getting more involved with international work. But those legacies are not always positive. But in our world, which is a bit like living in a theme park, it's fine for a day, but actually, if you have all of that buzzing and all of that choice all of the time, it's overwhelming. And you can get drawn into doing things that you're not so keen. Well, it's not deliberate, they sort of
Correct.
ambushes. So I love that phrase, intentional. Do you use that in any particular ways with your families, Celia?
Well, I love it too, because what it means is that you are actually taking control over your behaviors, what you're doing. You're taking responsibility for yourself, and you're putting into practice what you not only just thinking about it, but you're actually doing what you have told yourself you were going to do, or told someone else you were going to do, living in integrity. So it's important in your everyday life. It's extremely important when parenting your family. And it is important to not get as overwhelmed so that you wind up walking away from things you should be doing because you're just too overwhelmed and exhausted and aggravated. And that comes from what you said, Ollie, was letting other things monopolize your time, letting other things distract you, letting other things that, people asking you to do things, you're like, oh, I really don't have time to do this, but okay. And then you don't get your stuff done. There's so many factors in it. And intentionality is so important.
No, that's a phrase that I've only recently come to, and I really like that. I was asking you, did you put a resolution into place? It's interesting because my resolution doesn't sound the same, but actually has got very similar underpinnings, foundations. And mine is to balance out what I do in a day. Anybody who knows me would say, oh, Ali's always busy. And busy seems like an excuse. I'm too busy too. And I don't actually say that very often, but actually, the busyness can sometimes take over. So instead of using the word busyness, I'm using the word practicalities. There are practicalities. There are bins to be emptied. There are bills to be paid. There are journeys to drive your children around. There are school meetings to attend. But the other things, I don't know whether it's a diligent person or a bit of a sad person. I have kept a diary since I was 14. Jules, my PA, is on the call. I'm not sure she even knew that either. At the end of each day, I used to write down what I was grateful for, and what I found tricky. This year, I'm writing down a balance of the practicalities, the people that I've had time for, and the play I've had time for, and actually holding myself to account on that. On the days when one has taken over from another, then I can balance it out a little on the day after. Which leads me to another question for you, Celia. If we've made New Year's resolutions and they may not have been so successful, what things can be tricky when we put a big task in our way at any time of the year?
Well, first, I just want to say your idea of writing down at the end of the day what you did is so great because then you visually see what you spent your time on and you start holding yourself accountable. And that way you can be like, okay, well, I didn't do this. So let's put that in for tomorrow. So, such an excellent practice to get in the habit of doing. But what happens with resolutions? What happens when people are like, oh, it's a new year. This is what I'm going to do. Do you think back on and the past December and go, oh, December, I had all these things I was going to do and I didn't do any of them. And the whole year went by. That's usually because we set a vision out in front of us, but usually that vision is only that. It is a vision. It's like, I want to do this. But what we don't do is we don't attach the intentionality part. We don't attach the accountability part. We don't break it down into how am I going to do this? What if your goal is I'm going to lose weight, but you don't put anything specific down? What if you said I'm going to lose 15 pounds by March? Now, you have a specific number, and you can figure out how many weeks until March 15th, if that's your day, you're going to do it, how many pounds per week I need to lose, how many pounds per day, and how am I going to do that? And now you've actually broken it down into little steps that you can view day by day by day, do something intentional that is working towards that final goal. And before you know it, that goal has been reached because you have been intentional each day, 10 minutes, 15 minutes to work on what that vision was.
You have absolutely nailed it there, Celia. I was listening to a radio broadcast today with a very famous athlete from the UK who said that she did exactly that. She worked out how many days it was until the next race she had to do. She worked out how much faster she needed to be to win the next race and broke it down that she needed to be so many seconds or however much faster over each day, week, month. And she said she never just went for the big goal. It was always putting those small things in place. And I'd
They're
also,
less overwhelming. When
it
you look at a small goal, it's like, oh, well, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can clean out my closet 10 minutes a day. I can do
Yeah.
that. And then it's achievable.
Absolutely. And as in my other day job, apart from writing courses and developing resources, I belong to a tiny little school and I'm the special needs coordinator. And when we're setting targets for children, it is to be able to do three of these things 80% of the time. And that's very, very specific. They're SMART targets, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time bonded. And I hadn't actually applied that back to my parenting practice. Isn't it strange?
It happens so much. You know, it's like when I talk to people that run businesses and run major companies, and I'm like, do you realize what you need to do to run a successful business You should be doing at home.
Yes.
All the things you're doing in that business to bring all your people together, get on the same page, you're not doing in your home, and your home is chaos. If you
Absolutely.
ran a business like you run your home, you would go out of business.
Yes. I think one of the struggles for busy families is that thing that if you've been holding it together in your business all day and you get home and you're tired and your partner's tired, if you have a partner, your children are tired, it's like you may just want to go, oh, I really can't be bothered to hold that together, to keep those routines going. So we need something to be able to see that that's worthwhile, to see that it's making a difference, to be able to see what we are going, maybe what our children are going to benefit from that. Do you have any? We didn't discuss this in our
Well,
prep.
and that's why parents need a system. Because in everything we do, everything, we learn how to drive a car. People don't just throw you in a car and say, drive. You learn how to do it. If you're a plumber, people don't throw you under a sink and say, fix that leak. You would make 80 million mistakes fixing a leak if you ever fixed it. You have a system in place. But why is it for parenting, we think we can fly by the seat of our pants? We can't. That's why all these mistakes get made. If you come home from a busy day at work and you already have things in place that you don't have to think about, you don't have to be, oh, we should be doing this. It's already there. Then you come home from work and you come into a system where everyone is on the same page and you're all working to the same goal. After school, we're gonna have a snack. We're gonna run around outside. We're gonna do our homework before we start dinner. Then we're all gonna help fix dinner and we're gonna sit down and we're gonna eat at the table. And then after we eat at the table, we're gonna all play a game together and relax. And then we're gonna go upstairs and take a bath and we're gonna get ready for bed. There's nothing to think about because it's already there and it happens all the time. And it's more relaxing, less stressful and less chaotic than if you walk into a house and nobody knows what's going on and everybody's running around guessing.
I think that's fabulous. There are two things I want to pick up from that. One is, I'm just going to note down the other one to make sure that I don't remember. One is that takes me into a word that again, I don't know about you, but I'm still evolving in this job. I still come across new things and tweaking things slightly differently to fine-tune them. I used to use the word expectations. So when we come home, the expectations are. I've actually moved from that to a slightly different take on it, which is the word expected. Because if you use the word expected, then it presumes that there has been some conversation between all of those parties. And rather than, well, let's use grandma and granddad so we don't offend any parents in the piece here. You know, grandma expects you to have a nice big pudding with custard after your meal. And granddad thinks it's okay to give you sweeties after the meal. And mum and dad probably don't agree
Don't
with
want
either.
either.
Don't agree with either of those. So the children learn that when they're with granddad, they get sweeties. When they're with grandma, they get a nice big pudding. And those are those individual people's expectations. Whereas if we're talking about sustainable solutions, bringing us back to the plot, we're not talking about eco-friendly necessarily, but sustainable as in we are deciding what is expected. The adults around the children, whoever they are, whatever your family looks like, those adults agree that X, Y, and Z, maybe just one, two, or three things at this point is what is expected. And then it isn't, well, you know, your mum's not here, you can get away with it. And
Right.
then the children can feel comfortable because they feel safe. They know what is
Exactly.
expected and it doesn't budge. The reason children push at boundaries is, and in fact, it was a child that said this to me once, and I said, "Why are you pushing the boundaries?" And they said, "I'm not pushing the boundaries. I'm just checking they're still there."
Right. And that's all they're doing. And it's up to you to confirm that boundary or stretch it if it's, if your kids like
There are
they're
times when
supposed to
they
be home
don't.
at 10 o'clock and they're a teenager now and they have a special outing that goes till 10:30. That's where the flexibility can come in.
Yeah, absolutely. And the conversation that goes with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I would like to take you back to something that we talked about in our prep, which was the closet. Celia,
Closet.
are you going to come out of the closet on our
We're
podcast?
not talking about coming out of the closet.
No, we're not.
Unless we're talking about other things coming out of the So I can't tell you how many people I speak to, and I do classes on this usually at the beginning of the year. And I'll be like, pick one area of your life that you talk about cleaning up, taking care of, getting done that you don't get done. And I can't tell you how many people say to me, oh my gosh, I have a closet that is like overflowing. And I literally go over to my closet and I'm like, okay, today I'm going to clean out that closet. And I open it up and I go, no, I'm not. And I close it again because if the door's closed, out of
Out of
sight, out of
sight,
mind, so you don't see it. And you've been talking about this closet forever. And it's a perfect example of what we've been talking about breaking down a goal. So you open that closet, you see a horrendous mess, and you're like, I'm not going there. This is going to take me 6 hours. I don't have 6 hours to work on this closet. And you look at it as this overwhelming goal, which is what most goals and predictions and resolutions are at the beginning. They're like this
Overwhelmed.
massive life change. So you have this huge closet that is filled with junk that has been collecting year after year after year. You've been talking about it year after year after year. It's never getting done. 3 years from now, you'll open that door, it'll look even worse.
It'll fall out on you.
Exactly. So what do? Go back to what we said, you break it down. So instead of looking at it as this monstrosity of an issue, you now say, you know what? 10 minutes a day. And you can break down less. You can say 2 minutes a day if you want to start. 10 minutes a day, I'm going to set my timer to start. Here's the key, and to end at 10 minutes. And I'm going to do this shelf right here, or maybe half of this shelf right here. And you open up that closet when your alarm goes off. You decide 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever you decide. You keep the alarm, you keep it set because it's going to go off at 2:10. You work on that part and the alarm goes off. What do you do when the alarm goes off? Now, many of you are like, well, if I'm getting started, I might as well just keep working on it. Do not do that. When that alarm goes off at 2:10, close that closet door and walk away. Why? Because if you keep working on it and now it's an hour later or 2 hours later and you've gotten some things done, but now tomorrow when you go to work on it, you're going to be like, I don't have 2 hours to work on this thing. Like you've already created this needs 2 hours. When if you work on it 10 minutes a day for 7 days, you have put 70 minutes into cleaning that closet. And here's a little bonus, get your kids on board to help you for 10 minutes. Now, if you have two kids, you've got three people working 70 minutes, 10 minutes a day. Now you've got a half hour of manpower on that closet. And before you know it, this nightmare of closet that's been bugging you for years is cleaned up and you feel accomplished. And all it was 10 minutes a day. You can put anything into that time frame.
It's fabulous. I've actually been reflecting on that a lot since we discussed this in our prep last week. I love that idea. We've got something similar that I've heard in England about eating the elephant one bite at a time. But it's that this is what I love about your work, and it is similar. I think we're twins in a different world, in a
Separated at
different
birth.
That's it. Maybe.
Maybe.
Now you've thrown me now.
Except I think you're younger.
There you go. The lipstick does a lot. Nobody can see this. It's on a podcast. What was I going to say?
You're going to say eating the elephant.
Eating the elephant one. Oh yes, one bite at a time. The thing that the little bits of detail, because what you're saying seems so simple, but actually, when you look at the depth of why you need to stop after 10 minutes, it's because it would become overwhelming the next day. You have set
Exactly.
a higher expectation, going back to that other word, that okay, well, I did an hour yesterday, so I shall do an hour today, or maybe I'll try and do an hour and a half, and it's all too much. So it's
Right.
just keeping it bite-sized. And that's the
And
thing.
it's and then you keep working on it.
Absolutely, because it's achievable and it gives you confidence, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But this is why these strategies in this podcast are about talking together, learning together, and growing together with your children, because you may learn this strategy, but then when they're trying to get into researching a project for school, clearing out their toy cupboard, learning something new, then you can help them with that very same strategy. And that's what makes these strategies sustainable. So
Exactly. Think about it
they,
for studying.
oh
How
gosh.
many kids are like, oh, that's not Doodle Friday? And then Friday, they're like hurrying up to finish a project that
Yes.
they could have worked on 15 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, and
And
been done by Friday.
then when you do that, it buzzes in your brain. It's doing more work when it's actually not in front of that computer screen or in front of your book. So it progresses on. That's
And it
lovely.
helps not to procrastinate.
Yes.
The action of doing eliminates procrastination.
There we go. I think that's going to be one of my sustainable solutions. And perhaps I should ask you, Celia, to help me to be accountable for that.
We can be buddies. We can be
We can
accountability
be,
buddies.
yeah. Trans
Even if we
Transatlantic.
live across the pond from each other, we
It's a
can
small
wave from afar.
There we go. I am getting better. I am getting better at it. That's good. I wanted to come back to your closet and something else that you said to me about taking on those big tasks is that very often our children don't start on tasks because they're not confident. And parents will work with them and say, oh my goodness, you could do this, we can encourage you, set up rewards. There's a big conversation if we were going to get into that. Maybe that's for
Right. Another podcast.
another evening. Yes. I'm more interested in our responses to their behavior. And I'm going to come to my fingertips and see how this works in with it in a moment. But something that you said when we were discussing before about how you help a child to feel confident when they're taking on one of these sustainable solutions.
Well, think about it. So let me give you some scenario because it's not just children. This is important to remember. It is adults too. It's all humans. Let's go back to the closet for a minute. So for years, that closet has been overflowing, and all you do is look at it, think about it, close the door. Now you've decided, nope, we're not doing that anymore. It's Monday. It's the start of a new year. I'm spending 10 minutes on this closet. Now, prior to that, you thought, I'm never going to clean this closet out. There is no way I'm getting this closet clean. You spent 10 minutes on a Monday. Next, on a Tuesday, you spent another 10 minutes. Next, on a Wednesday, you spent another 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, you have gained the confidence that you can clean out that closet that has been an overflowing mess for years and years and years. Now, you're confident you can achieve this goal. And the point of that is that many people think confidence is where you begin. In order to do anything, you need confidence to do it. And what you're missing is that the doing is what gives you the confidence. You don't get the confidence without the action. The woman you described who was trying to get faster and faster and faster,
Yes.
She believed she could reach that point once her time changed by her working on it every day.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a point in time where she's like, oh, I'm not sure I can do this. I mean, I'm a good runner and I'm fast, but am I that fast? There was self-doubt. And the only way you're going to swing from self-doubt to a confident person is by doing a little bit of what you're concerned about every single day. And with every day and every act of doing, your confidence grows.
That's fabulous. Because, and it links back when I'm talking to parents that I work with whose children might be struggling to make a start, they might have additional needs. One of the things we look at is helping to find out what a child is particularly proud of, rather than what they're good at, but something that they're proud of. And one of the responses to that question is, I feel pride inside that I tried.
I love that.
Yeah, because that looks at the process and the progress rather than the end product.
Absolutely.
And I use that a lot. I tutor children, I work with children in school, and I work with big children who are called adults. And if you're working on something and you're making some small steps, I'm using a gesture now with my thumbs up. It's a fist with my thumbs up, and I hold it right in my chest. And whenever I work with that, with children or adults, I ask the question, what are you particularly proud of? And then the answer is, I feel pride inside that I tried. Or if you're sitting there thinking, my children are little, they can't possibly say that. Well, I wonder what makes them shine inside. And that sounds a lot like pride inside. And that leads me onto one of my closing tips for you. And I know that it's actually very similar to one that Celia has. So why don't I let Celia share the one that begins with P?
Okay.
Celia, and then I will share mine and we'll see how they complement each other.
Which they do. So out there is a British cartoon called Peppa Pig. And so my acronym I created was Peppa. Now, has nothing to do with the pig. In fact, it's PEPA. So you take that extra P. And that's for the pig, and you throw that away because it has nothing to do with a pig. But it is Peppa. And so this is all about how you look upon challenges. Could be your child throwing a tantrum. It could be you coming in from work and you're fed up and you're angry and you're irritated and you wind up taking it out on your kids. It could be that closet that you want to take on. It could be weight loss could be anything. So often we do things without thought. But if you remember Peppa, you will always do things with intention. So Peppa is this. The first P stands for pause. And honestly, friends, if you think of the word Peppa in reaction to whatever's going on, you've already paused. You have given your brain a break from emotionally reacting to something or someone. So the first P is pause. The E is for evaluate. The next P is for plan. And the A is for act. You see how this fits in? So you pause, you evaluate, you plan, and you act. In light of the overflowing closet, you don't just get overwhelmed, you stop. You evaluate what's really going on here. How can you fix it? You make a plan. That plan is a little bit every day. And then you do it. You take the first step. If you're reacting to a child who's throwing a tantrum, you could scream and yell back at your child, and then nothing would be accomplished because you're just having a big screaming match and solves nothing and makes everything worse. Or you could take a step back and think, okay, let me look at what's going on here. Let me evaluate what is actually happening. My child hasn't had a nap all day, and it's 4 in the afternoon. They are clearly exhausted. Let's think of a plan. How can I settle him down and relax so that maybe even he'll take a short cat nap and that will refresh him? And then whatever plan you think of, you act on it. Peppa, plan, evaluate, excuse me, pause, evaluate, plan, and act.
That's just lovely. I think that makes such a lot of sense. And I like the plan part in that. My one comes back to what makes you shine inside as the adults around the children. When I say the adults around the children, that's parents, foster parents, adopters, teachers, social
Teachers, right.
workers, one-to-one, grandparents, neighbours, whoever. If you have a child that you can pop your hand on your heart and say, oh my goodness, I do care about that child, that connection means that you are one of the adults around the child, and that makes such a difference. So my acronym is something you can do, and I'm going to come back to my fingertips. This time I'm going to use my middle finger. British people don't panic, it is horizontal. Okay? It's not a rude gesture. And if you point your middle finger away from you, and you rub between the knuckle that's on your hand and the main knuckle, that's part of the longest journey. Your middle finger is the longest finger, and you are taking a part on that longest journey. And the question that goes with that in my fingertips talking together tool is, what's tricky and how do you tackle it? So if you're faced with something tricky, as Celia said, if you're faced with something tricky, don't just dive in. Don't do that thing that we've been doing for years, which is react. We need to respond. And the difference between the word react and respond means that the end of that word, if it's responsive, it comes from the French word to think. So it's got penser, to think in there. It means we think. So my acronym reflects that. So when something's tricky and you need to know how to tackle it, the word is star. S is stop. Now, I always put a little rider on this. If your child is just about to run out in front of a bus, please override.
Right. Stop your child.
Absolutely. Use your gut instincts and keep your
Right.
child safe. That is the exception. But we're hoping that we're not in that situation. But it's any situation of any age. You've got a teenager who's not doing the work they need to do for their exams, or they're staying out too late. You have got a tweeny, a sort of 11, 12-ish, who's being really bolshy and not speaking very nicely to someone. You've got a toddler who's having a meltdown. The same acronym works, and it does also work in your workplace. If your boss is being stroppy, well, maybe not your boss, maybe your co-worker. Stop. Just go, take a deep breath. Take a moment. It is okay not to dive in. Then the T is think. So you can see Celia and I are of the same colour, but perhaps just a slightly different shade. Stop, think. A is for act. And then, because I am a teacher and I've always been a teacher, the R is for reflect. So when it's happened, did it work well? So this is the evaluate bit that Celia had a little bit earlier on. You reflect on it. What went well? What was tricky? How did you tackle it? And then it becomes a cycle. And I'm going to tell you one little story, and then I'm going to ask Celia to close for us. When I was doing a one-to-one with a dad who had just found himself with a blended family, it was all a lot of work. It was really tricky. And we were having a one-to-one session on a Saturday. And one of my strategies that I suggested to him, and he seemed to embrace wholeheartedly, was the star. And I just making small talk afterwards, and I said, what are you going to do? What's the rest of your afternoon look like? He said, oh, I'm getting a tattoo. I said, oh, that's interesting. Can I ask what the tattoo is? She said, yes. Held up his hand, showed me the fleshy part between his thumb and his finger. He said, I'm going to get a star tattooed here. so that I can remember that I have to stop, think, act, and reflect.
I
I
love
have
that.
public liability insurance, but I'm not sure it runs to tattoos.
If you regret it, it's not my fault.
I'm not sure if he did, but it certainly made me think of the power of what you and I, Celia, have the privilege to do.
Absolutely.
And it is always a privilege. You were saying how many millions of children you've reached. That's one thing I will go away and do afterwards because it's my 20th anniversary this year
Oh, happy anniversary.
of running the courses, of writing
Oh,
and
happy anniversary.
yes. Ali McClure Education and Parenting's 20th
Love it,
anniversary
Allie.
this year. And this last week I've had people coming back and saying how they're still using my strategies 20 years on. So I must have started in my teens, I'm sure, but there you go.
It's what you're doing right.
So Celia, one thing for us to take away from you that comes back to from resolutions to sustainable solutions.
Well, and I actually just said it when I replied to you because I said, what you're doing right. Really learn to focus on what's going right, not what's going wrong. With you do a lot more right than not right. With your kids, they do a lot more right than not right. So start noticing that. Start being proud of what went right in a day. Start looking at things if you want to, at the end of the day with your kids, make a list of everything that went right. What went right today? Well, I got up and I got to school on time. Oh, but I didn't do so well on that test. That's all right. What'd you learn from it? Well, I learned that maybe next time I should study harder. Okay, so it went right, right? Didn't go wrong. Went right. You learned something new. There are so many lessons in life, in a day, in an hour, in 10 minutes that we skip over because we simply don't notice. We have to take notice or notice. There's a wonderful author, Andy Andrews. He's one of my favorite authors, and he wrote a whole book called The Noticer. And he considers himself a professional noticer. Take time to notice. Take time to notice all that's right. Put your emphasis, put your energy on what's going right. Whatever you focus on will grow. And if you're always focused on the negative, that negative will show up more and more and more. But if you start focusing on what's going right, what you've achieved, what your kids have achieved, the things they've done correctly, that you've wanted them to do.
And may I say that they take a pride in.
Oh, absolutely. They take pride in, just like you said, I pride myself on what's inside. I'm not saying that right.
Take a
I
pride.
find my, to say that again, I love that line. I can't read my writing.
I have pride inside that I tried.
Yes, I love it. So rhyming. I have pride inside. And then when you tell your children or somebody says you, to you, great job. I appreciate you trying to make that happen. Yay, you feel accomplished. You feel great. You feel confident. You feel all those wonderful things. You don't feel overwhelmed from any of that because it's all moving you forward.
That's wonderful. Celia, it's getting close to my bedtime, perhaps getting close to your supper time. I could talk to you all evening,
Me too.
and I'm sure we will do this again sometime. I hope to welcome you over to the United Kingdom, and maybe we can do a bit of a double act. I think that would
Yes,
be
we're going to try to do that.
absolutely fabulous. So, if anybody listening to this on the podcast would be interested in coming along, maybe throwing some questions at Celia and myself, we'll see if we can make it happen, not just online, but in the flesh.
Yes, in
So,
person.
Celia, how can our lovely listeners find you?
You can go to dayofcom.org. You can find me on Instagram at parenting underscore expert underscore toddlers. Sorry for underscores, but I don't know how I made it that way, but that's how it is. You can just look up Celia Kibler and you'll find me. I'm on all social media. Everywhere you are, I'm there. And I've been around for a really long time because I'm really old. So you can look me up on Google and there's like endless information about me. And reach out if you want to talk to me. Just go to talkwithcelia.com. Talkwithcelia.com.
Fabulous. And that leads us right back to what we're called tonight. This is Talking Together Tuesday. And I do hope that Celia and I, Ali McClure, and you can find me at www.alimcclure.co.uk. I hope we've given you some food for thought, some sustainable solutions for talking together, learning together, growing together with your children. Thank you so much for joining us. And see you
Thank you,
again
Allie.
soon. Take care.